1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 22. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. For as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. If you were looking in a spiritual mirror, and that mirror would reflect everything you thought of yourself, what would it say? You know, there are many believers today who see themselves as weak and ineffective. They see themselves as failures. And they carry that to extremes. They see themselves as weak, ineffective, unable to do what God has asked them to do, incapable of doing things for the kingdom. And they walk around feeling, in some cases, that they're useless. And what begins to happen is that they try to get some kind of work going, some kind of effort going to cover up the fact that they feel so ineffective that they maybe think they can earn something. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so we need to understand something, that our weakness is accepted by God, and he provides us with his strength. We need to understand that God uses, and we're going to hit that and just read it to you what it really means, that God uses the weakness to put his strength in our lives to fulfill his calling and for us to be and to hear God and to respond to what God is telling us. It's no longer time to make excuses why I can't. It's time to come to the reasoning of why God can. And over and over and over again, we beat ourselves up and we view ourselves as failures because of something that we felt inadequate to do, and we didn't consider the fact that when God tells us to do something, he'll do it through us. I want you to look at this verse. And really, we're going to spend most of the morning just talking about this verse. Verse number 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Hello. God has never told us to turn off our brain. Hello?
That's right.
He's never told us to quit thinking. He told us to think God thoughts.
Amen.
And so that's a little bit different than suddenly saying, well, my brain is not important and my education is not important and what I've learned is not important. It comes to a place where we start thinking God thoughts through His Word and we respond to the thoughts that God is telling us. But look at the next part of it. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame or to confound the things which are mighty. Weak. Let me just read you something here. That word Greek and that word weak is very interesting as we look at what God is telling us. Weak equals base, feeble, puny, powerless. And it comes to a place where as people look at things like that, they kind of laugh at it. Let me paraphrase this verse. God has chosen those things whom the world considers puny and powerless, even laughable. These are the ones God will use to confuse, frustrate, and baffle all political and other powers of the world. How many of you ever said, I can't? How many have ever said, I won't? That's a little different. I won't from I can't. Amen?
That's right.
So God takes in what the world would classify as inferior. Perfect illustration. After the lame man was healed in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were preaching. They got arrested. They went before the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin took notice that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they knew that they'd been with Jesus. We can make all kinds of excuses, no reasons, why God can't use us. Anybody ever do that? And then you feel lousy, don't you? We feel lousy. We can bypass the lousy part and just tell God, God, whatever you want to do in my life, even though I feel puny, even though I feel powerless, even though I feel weak, even though in myself I have nothing, that's exactly where God wants us. Turn with me to Isaiah 40 just for a minute. Isaiah 40. This verse has always made me stop and look. Now look at this. Verse 40, chapter 40, verse number 28. And you know, the end of it is, he who waits upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We know that verse. But listen to this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the who? Okay, mine says weak. He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases strength. Look at that. How can he increase something that you don't have to start with? Those who have no might, those who have no strength, those who have no power, he increases what they don't have. That's God. God takes what is needed, adds it to your life, and says, go do what I've asked you to do. Let's look at the rest of this. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fail, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word wait means expect. Those who are expecting God to do something in your life, your strength is renewed. You will mount up with wings like eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. Beautiful story of this. Smith Wigglesworth, great preacher back in the early 1900s, 1920, 1930, 1940. I think he died in 1948. Would preach 4 or 5 times a day. Then he'd pray for the sick individually, most of the time. And one night he got to the service and he'd been preaching, he'd been ministering, he'd been out with people all day. And he sat down and said, "Lord, I can't do this. I can't preach tonight. I don't have energy. I don't have strength. I don't have power. I can't do this." And the Holy Spirit whispered to him and said, "But I can." He stood up to preach and he was infused with energy. Preached and preached, prayed for the sick, went backstage to pick up his jacket or whatever it was, and was totally out of energy. But the thing that we have to understand is that God understands our weakness and he works through our weakness to give us his strength. You know, there comes a time when we have to stop saying, "I'm nothing, I can't." And we respond to God, "You can." I want to give you some quick examples, and you can do with this whatever you want. How many remember a man by the name of Gideon? Where was Gideon when the angel of the Lord came to him? He was hiding in a wine press. So that the Midianites wouldn't take his wheat he was grinding. And you can look this up in Genesis. I mean in Judges, I'm sorry. And the angel comes to him and says, "You found favor, you mighty man of valor." Really? Hiding? Afraid? Mighty man of valor? There's no connection there. Hello? How many of you have ever been a puck, 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 puck? Hello? Have you been there? Yeah, we all have. And so the angel looks at him and says, "You're a mighty man of valor." We realize that God saw what he was going to be because God worked through him. He starts out with 30,000 men to fight against the Midianites. He ends up with 300 and they win. And not only they win, but this bothers me. He with 300 men, he was chasing thousands of Midianites. I don't figure out what he ever do if he's going to catch them. But he pursued them, the Bible says. And so we come to a place where we need to understand God doesn't see what you see. God doesn't base his opinion on what you think you are. He looks at you and says, "I can infuse them with strength and power and wisdom, and I will minister through them to whoever." Do we realize when God called Saul, he says, "You're going to minister to kings and Jews and Gentiles." When Ananias prayed for Saul, he says, "You're going to minister," or God spoke to Ananias and said, "He's going to minister to the kings and the Jews and the Gentiles." Who is there that you can't minister to? People make people heroes so they can worship them. There are athletes that are absolutely worshiped. There are politicians who are worshiped. Worship only belongs to God.
Amen.
And when we face somebody, that person is just as human and only human as you are. Amen?
Amen.
It's true. And I don't mean to walk in with arrogance or being cocky. All I mean is that when God sends you to somebody, He's prepared your way. Number two, a man by the name of Saul, Old Testament Saul. Samuel comes to anoint him king. And Saul looks at Samuel, and you can find this in 1 Samuel, and says, "Our clan is the smallest, and my family is the smallest. Who am I to be king?" Huh. Not many wise, not many noble are chosen. But God chose a man by the name of Saul. He became king. For a while, he did a great job. What about David? How many remember when Samuel went to the house of Jesse? Samuel goes to the house of Jesse, and they parade everyone before him. And God says, "No, I haven't chosen any of these six brothers." David's out in the field with the sheep. He wasn't even called. But Samuel, listening to the Lord, says, "Is there another one?" He said, "Yeah, my son's out with the sheep." He said, "Bring him." The one that wasn't called was chosen. And so David goes to bring his family cheeses and food when the Philistines were fighting and Goliath is there. You know the story. But you realize that Goliath made fun of this shepherd boy coming to fight him? He disdained him. He made fun of him. Like, "Who do you think you are coming to fight me? I'm going to take you and I'm going to rip you apart." He never got that close. David takes the sling. Tony, how hard is it to hit a moose from here to you? Can you do it? Well, David was an expert with the sling. A lot of people say, "Man, he's so big." And David would say, "Yeah, he's so big I can't miss." And down goes Goliath. Now, David's anointed to be king. So you go to 1 Samuel 22, I believe it is. They talk about the men of Adullam. These great warriors, the misfits, the ones in debt, the one with mental illness. And David took that bunch and made an army. How many remember? You can read it. The number that killed and killed and killed of warriors that are written in the Bible that David took from misfits to warriors. You say, "Pastor, where are you going?" Some of you have been beat up so much, lied to by Satan, deceived, talked about, criticized, that sometimes now you're almost afraid to step out. You're thinking, "What can God do with me?" I've had so many opportunities, you may think, to do something for the Lord, but I didn't do it, and I got scared. There's a church called Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3. God looks at that church and says, "I've set before you an open door. that no one can open and no one can shut. Because you have little strength. And then he lists a whole bunch of stuff that's going to happen. I believe for this body of believers, God has opened a massive door. We don't always see it right away. We don't always see how we can minister, how we can touch people's lives, how we can change people's lives. Kirk and I have been talking about a lot of stuff. We talked with the leaders last week about things. But I want you to see how God in your life will strengthen you, will lead you, will encourage you, will take you places you never thought you'd be. And when you're there, you will look people in the eye and tell them God loves them. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Raise the dead even as God leads you. We are not wimps. We are mighty warriors in the army of God. And God is working to bring that to our minds so we see it. We miss it. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is going through a hard time. Anybody been there? Paul is dealing with a thorn in the flesh. There's all kinds of different things that the people say it is. I know the answer, but I won't tell you because you'll think I'm too arrogant. I'm joking. I'm not sure. But you know something? The thorn in the flesh is not the issue. It's God's answer that's the issue to him. Okay? So God is talking to Paul after he's prayed three times about this thorn in the flesh. Verse number 9, and he said, or God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is sufficient because my grace is sufficient because my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, most gladly I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. The world may never embrace your testimony. But keep in mind, we're not of the world. We're just in it. People may not always love you. They may not always treat you right. They may say things about you behind your back. They may come to a place where they don't even want to be with you. But the day will come when they'll need you. People may not like where you go to church or the Jesus you serve or the Holy Ghost that's running through your veins and working miracles and doing stuff, but I'll tell you something, when they need something, they'll give you a call because they know where the answer can be found. It's pretty interesting. Don't ever look in the mirror and tell God you're nothing. Because in God's kingdom, you stand with every other believer. Same Holy Spirit, same Jesus Christ. We don't earn it by doing great exploits. We do great exploits because he loves us. We don't earn it because we're better than somebody else, or we're more this, or we're more that. We do it because his grace is sufficient and his strength is made perfect in our weakness, and we know who our source is.